Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Binge. Let me give you a definition for binge. A bout of excessive eating or drinking. The definition puts it to eating and drinking. It can also be excessive indulgence in anything. A shopping binge. It's the literal word to binge. To indulge in a binge, drinking or eating, can also be a drunken spree, carouse, consume. There's a bunch of kinds of binges. And if I leave one out, please raise your hand if I left you out. I don't want to, discriminate here. Binge drinking, binge eating. You can binge run. People get obsessed with just physical activity and they can't stop. Binge sleeping, binge shopping. You go shopping to get something and you can't go home. You can't stop. Facebook binging, and I do not want hands on this at all. You can work binge. People just get sucked into their work. They can't, you say, well, but you work so hard. No, I'm just working. But you haven't been home in 3 or 4 days. So here's the question we're going to start with. What are you binging on? I left one out. Sex binging. You can binge on porn. So have I hit yours yet? Let me just give you, I found an article by a lady named Lori Johnson. Let me read you some of this. Binge eating. Let's just go with this one. Binge eating is a far more serious condition than emotional eating or mindless eating. Binge eating often leads to morbid obesity, which by definition can become life-threatening due to the vast array of health complications associated with obesity, such as heart disease and cancer. People with binge eating disorder often feel out of control with their eating and sometimes describe their binges as out-of-body experiences. Binge eating causes deep feelings of shame that, when experienced over a long period of time, can actually lead to suicide. Binge eating is the most common type of eating disorder. And this is from the National Eating Disorders Association, describes binge eating disorders in the following way. So listen, you say, well, I don't know if it doesn't describe me. Number one, eating in a discrete period of time, example, within a 2-hour period, an amount of food that is definitely larger than what most people would eat in a similar period of time under similar circumstances. Number two, a sense of lack of control over eating during the episode, a feeling that one cannot stop eating or control what or how much one is eating. Number three, eating much more rapidly than normal. Number four, eating until feeling uncomfortably full. Number five, eating large amounts of food when not feeling it physically. Number six, eating alone because of feeling embarrassed by how much one is eating. Number seven, feeling disgusted with oneself, depressed, and very guilty afterward. And number eight, the binge eating occurs on average at least once a week for 3 months. So here's part of our challenge as Christians. Let's just start with Christians. We're supposed to have it together. We're not supposed to have problems. We've kind of been communicated to that Jesus is the answer. And once you finally meet Jesus, you get Jesus, and you understand that he died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to save your soul. And if you accept this amazing gift of eternal life, Jesus moves in, the Holy Spirit fills your life, and now you're sinless till the day you die. Has anybody experienced that? Right? So that's not our reality. And very quickly you discover that you end up going back to some things, but you're trying not to. And you're trying to walk with God, and we'll get to that in a little bit. You're trying to talk with God, and yet you still have this war going on with this body that you're trapped in. And you're trying to let God run your life, kinda. But sometimes you don't really want him running your life because your body says, we'd like to do this. And the you in you says, you know what? I kind of agree with my body. We probably should go do this a little bit, whatever that is. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, it's my body. You say, well, just hang on for the ride. We'll be back. But we're going to make this run. And whatever that run is in your life could be anger. You just let it rip every once in a while. And that's your way of getting off emotionally. Now, what goes on in the Christian world is this binge thing. You're fine. You're riding along, you're reading your Bible, you're listening to praise music, you got all the buttons set on your radio, so there's nothing gonna, no Led Zeppelin gonna hit your life, and you're making it. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And I love this little phrase, halt. If you've got any addiction issues, you'll know what halt means. You're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You'd be amazed how much nonsense and just terrible behavior comes out of those four things. You get hungry, but it's not just hunger. I'm just going to eat something to satisfy this hunger. Then you binge eat. You're angry. So you think, well, I got to do something to pacify this anger. Then you binge on whatever your thing is. Lonely. Oh, I feel bad. I'm lonely. What can I do to feel better? And you pick your binge. Or you're just tired, your resistance is low, you're not really thinking, you're weak, and so all of a sudden the enemy says, wow, you know, I know something that used to make us feel better, what do you think? And he never says, and by the way, you're gonna feel like you know what when we're done, but right now you're gonna feel a little better. So why don't we do this for a few hours, a few days, for a week or so, and then, you know, it's almost like the devil quotes you the Bible. Well, you know, the Bible says that you can come back and confess all this and he'll forgive you. So let's just take a break. Let's do, you know, let's do a little something for you today. Enough serving God. You're a good person. Let's take this little trip. And then you feel like, you know what? So how is that working out for us? And so we quietly, secretly sometimes live these lives of we're okay, we're okay, we're okay. And then boom, deep sea dive binge. And then we resurface somewhere and, oh, okay, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay. And we go for a little bit longer and then boom, we go back down. And we don't know what the warning signs are. No one explains to you like halt, like stop, like, you know, phone a friend. Say, look, this is what's going on in my life. The triggers are coming. Let me tell you about not telling your stuff to anybody. Sooner or later, everybody will know. Because if you keep living outside of God's boundaries, you will be discovered. So it's better to let somebody know and go to work on it and only be embarrassed by one or two people than by the whole world. You say, well, God wouldn't embarrass me in front of the whole world. He will do whatever it takes to not lose you to sin, to the enemy, and to get you help. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Mr. Binge himself. The fascinating thing about Ecclesiastes is that this guy, Solomon, is described as the wisest man who ever lived, yet he did some of the dumbest things anybody's ever done in their world. He had wisdom, and on top of that, God gave him wealth just beyond anybody, and so he could kind of binge, do whatever he wanted to do, and so he made a run at it. You think, well, how could somebody so wise be so unwise in the choices that he made? Sometimes God allows something like this to happen so that we don't have to run down this path. Let me tell you what wisdom will do for you. You read something like this, you read the book of Ecclesiastes and go, oh, wow, that didn't work out so well for that man. I believe I will go another direction. Or you say, wow, it looks like he had a great time and then found out it didn't work. I'd like to experience that as well. I'd like to live that life and have all of that. And then I'll repent and go, wow, look how God changed my life. Except that you're burning up a good chunk of the only life you're ever going to get. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, let's jump in here, verse 1. This is Solomon speaking. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, of myrrh, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom. Now look at that. Wine and wisdom? And how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heavens all the days of their life. So this is kind of a wahoo, binge, whatever you want, you know, if it feels good, do it. Here we go. And this guy, what is it? 700 wives, 300 concubines. Am I getting the numbers right? I mean, I've run the numbers on it. Yeah, it's a lot of women, a lot of shoes. It's just a lot of problems. Average shoe per, just, you know, that's, my gosh, holy cow. I made my works great, okay? So pleasure, wine, I made my works great. So now it's construction. I built myself houses, planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants. Now he's buying people. And had servants born in my house. So many servants that they're being born in his house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. I even hired singers to come in that did nothing but sing for him. The delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. Now look at how he describes this. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. He saw it, he wanted it, he took it. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on all the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun, worthless, meaningless, meant nothing to him. Let's read a few more. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly and light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come, and how does a wise man die? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore, I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with knowledge, with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor, for all the striving of his heart, for which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. And you read the rest of the book. It's tragic. Can you read that and listen to that and say, oh, I don't want to go that way? Then which way are you going? And when will the binging stop? When will you get to the place and say, no, as a Christian, I have power over sin. That's a fact. Now, whether you do anything with that or not, that's a choice you make. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about there's always a way of escape. So this is the guarantee, the promise. When you get to a place, you're rocking along fine, walking, talking with God, singing the songs, everything's great, and all of a sudden the circumstances, everything lines up. And if you've stockpiled your pantry and you're ready for the binge, the book says don't make any provision for the flesh. So get the stuff out of your house that's going to set you up to provide you what you need. You cannot keep sin handy. People who got food stashed, ready for a binge, say, okay, here we go. It's about that time. Something for me. I'm hungry. I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm tired. I've already made preparation for this. Here we go. You don't answer the phone. You burrow in, and here you go. Now, will God forgive you? Absolutely. This is going to be our lives? This is it? This is all we got? You're saved, and you're just going to be a prisoner the rest of your life, an occasional prisoner. That's not you running your life. That's not even God running your life. That's hell running your life. Let's get some more verses. Proverbs 23. Now, there's been a period of time where I almost backed off of verses like this, and now I'm back on them, and I'll tell you why. Because the people I deal with and the things that I see, this is a problem. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Who do you run around with? Who are your friends? You say, oh, well, I'm trying to reach people. Then how many have you reached? Oh, I run around like Jesus did with the publicans and sinners, all these people. He reached them. If you can tell me you're out there drinking and eating and living the life and Jesus is coming up every time and they see him in your life, that's one thing. Someone's life is going to be changed. Unfortunately, your life is probably the life being changed by them. You're going nowhere. You say, but I thought we were supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Exactly. Now, please don't somebody go off and say, oh, Richard's saying you can't drink. I am not saying you can't drink, but maybe you can't. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. It may be best for you not to drink. It may be best for you not to run with certain people because it's pulling you completely away from God. Run with people who are running to what you're running to. If you end up at evil, there's a good chance you are running with people who are running toward evil. And if you're chasing God and you don't end up there by yourself, there's a good chance you're surrounded by people who are also chasing God. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Some of you know this by heart. You'll have to go read the surrounding chapter 5 and the rest of 6 some other time. Now, this is one of the things that pulls people in and gets them sucked into these, you know, binge sessions or seasons. Romans 6, all this talk about grace and the mercy of God. And verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So it seems like there is so much grace. We don't want this grace to go to waste. So let's sin a bunch so we can use it up. Wow, let's just, you know, let's just go headlong and say, God, look, we screwed up some more, but there's so much mercy and grace, we want to use it all. You think that's absurd? That's what he says. Certainly not. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You say, but Richard, you don't understand. It's not your deal. Food is my deal. You know, you see, food is your deal. You don't understand. I get going. I can't stop. You're telling me that food is going to control your life till the day you die. That food, alcohol, sex, shopping, specifically shoes, whatever your binge is, you're telling me that that is more powerful than you. Okay, maybe I'll give you that. But that is more powerful than God? Oh, even God can't stop this. Let me tell you what that's about. You don't want God to stop this. You say, yes, I do. No, because as a Christian, you have the power for it to stop. You say, well, I'm praying about that. I get that. Another piece of this is this. You think, I think I can. I think I can do it by myself. Sometimes you have to get help. It's not a bad thing to get help. James talks about, you know, confessing your sins one to another and thereby be healed. It's not that you need a priest or somebody don't come say, oh, I need to come tell you what I did. Sometimes you need to tell someone else what's going on so that you're not all by yourself in the struggle and in the addiction, and you let someone else know, and then they're praying for you and asking you questions. Romans 13. All right, listen to this. Romans 13, let's jump down to verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't make provision for the flesh. Now ask yourself the question, how are you and how have you made provision for your flesh? And how have you and how are you making provision for your spirit? Go read Ephesians 5 sometime. I've already read something to this effect, but verse 18, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So if your issue is drinking, you binge drink, you're drunk with wine, you're fine. You can go to a dinner party somewhere just sipping on something. You're great. And then all of a sudden, you take it under. You got a bottle of wine with a straw, you're in trouble. You say, well, you're judging. I'm not judging. I'm trying to save your life or your marriage or your kids' lives. Sometimes you don't drink just because your kids will drink because you do. And if you find out your kid has trouble with alcohol, at least say, hey, you know what? I'm out. I'll be an example. I don't need this. It might cause my kid to stumble. I'm out. Yeah, but I love, you know what? You love your sin more than you love your kid. You're in trouble. So are they. The Bible doesn't say don't get drunk. It says don't get drunk on wine. And that's why you say, oh, well, I drink Jack Daniels, and it doesn't say that, you know. So it didn't say don't get drunk on that, just wine. The Bible says don't get drunk. So why would I spend so much time on this? Because we got a world full of Christian drunks by the millions. And the whole community laughs at us. You're just like us. Oh, the Bible says don't drink, but it does say don't get drunk. So what am I saying? Stop getting drunk. You say, well, I can't drink and not get drunk. Then quit drinking. You say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm doing it home alone. It doesn't matter where you do it. It says don't do it. Drunk by yourself, drunk in front of 1,000 people. You're out of line. I got a gate at my house. It took me a while to figure out this gate. I've got this, you know, you push the button and the gate opens. Power gate. But here's what's crazy about this gate. So if it's working, you push the button, the gate opens, you push it again, the gate closes. But then something happened, a breaker flipped, and the gate still worked. I was like, this is interesting. I didn't know the breaker had flipped. But you'd hit the button, the gate would open. But it only did it for a while because I discovered that inside the casing of this motor in the gate, guess what's inside that casing? A battery. So when the breaker flipped, there's no more power to the gate, but that battery is going to do the trick. But guess what happens when the battery's about to die? This loud screeching alarm sound goes off when you hit the button to tell you your gate's about not to open. Why? Because you've gone from all the power you need to backup battery power, and that's about to run out, and you're going to be unhooking that motor from the chain and doing it in your own power pretty quick. Not what it was intended to do. So why would I tell you that story? You have to stay connected to the source of power. If you're a Christian, you have the power to run your life the way God intended. And if you flip a breaker, now I know where the reset button is at the base of the gate. So when it goes off, I know what to do. I reset the button and get things back in order before I'm operating on the battery and getting out, unhooking a chain and opening the gate, which is completely ridiculous. That's not what it was intended to do. If we stayed as connected to our sin, if we stayed as connected to Jesus as we do to our sin, we'd live lives completely differently. Just spend as much time binging on Jesus as you do on whatever else you binge on. You'd be amazed how powerful your life is. But our default is the breaker flipped, battery will kick in, maybe the alarms will go off, we'll fix that later. Instead of being aware that this is going to run way more smoothly if I just connect with him, stay connected with him, spend the time with him that is necessary. Not just reading your Bible to say you read it, but reading it to get nourishment from it. So I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm telling you this. This works.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Just listen. Galatians 5, 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a fact. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, you're not compelled to do sin. And then he goes down in verse 22 and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and guess what else? Self-control. When you're walking in the Spirit, some of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the little sections, is self-control. You're not out of control anymore. You don't binge anymore. You don't have to binge anymore. You go, you know what? I don't think I'm going down that path again. I'm getting rid of all that stuff. I'm going to binge on Jesus. Last one, Matthew 22. Lawyer trying to trick him. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like of it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to binge on something? Binge on Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you won't find yourself unhinged in the binge anymore. Okay? Now, once again, you say, well, good for whoever that was for. It's for everybody. Because if you don't have issues anymore and you're not helping somebody, you still got issues.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.